you.
You've gone mostly quiet, so why is light useful to us? Shanti, am I saying that right? Both very good ones, yes. Anything else? David, you had your hand up before. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's like the, it's fun of a reason we can find like different like direction of motion and stuff like redshift, blueshift, but also like just, I mean, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, what things are made out of?
Yeah. It can tell you a lot about stars and stuff.
Right. Anybody else have any ideas? Eric? Right, whether they're even there or not, right? Presence of light emitting objects. I make that distinction for a particular reason. Does every object emit light? I see a lot of heads shaking no. Okay. Who votes yes? Does every object emit its own light? How about no? How about not sure? That was a valid answer too. Okay. So, someone who said no, why not? Yeah, Nathaniel.
I mean, there's things like the moon that don't really like emit their own light. They just reflect light that's coming from other things.
Okay. So the moon doesn't emit its own light. It just reflects light from other things, is the assertion that Nathaniel is making. You're all thinking inside a particular box here. Alex?
I mean, the moon doesn't produce its own visible light.
Ah. Right, so when I'm talking about light, I mean any wavelength, any frequency. Do you emit light? What kind of light? Wait, what? Garrett, you say something. You all, like three people said something at the same time.
Infrared.
Yeah. Right? So why do we emit any visible light? Aha, they're also in a box, right? A box called the classroom. They're going to learn something. Do you emit any gamma rays? And if I said yes, you do. Not very often, or very many, but you do.
Only when you grow big and green.
Are those gamma rays? Is that what the Hulk
does?
Yeah,
gamma rays. I was supposed to.
All right, well. Don't try to become the Hulk. Just say that. You would not become big and green. You would become nothing. literally, right? So every object does emit light. Technically, in all wavelengths. It's just that some wavelengths it emits more light than others. Right, so the moon doesn't emit very many optical visible photons. It emits a lot of infrared photons. So what's the key property of an object that tells you what kind of light it's going to emit?
Temperature.
Right, we'll come to that when we come to stars. in a bit, but we'll talk about it more. But generally speaking, hot things emit shorter wavelength photons in bigger proportions. So that means that if you look at an object, you can, from its light, you can also tell its temperature, right? If something's emitting a lot of visible light, it's going to have to be hot enough to do that. That's going to be a key one. I have a list here. What about density of an object? Could you tell that for just from what kind of light it's emitting? How about votes for yes? Votes for no? Votes for not sure? Okay, that's fine. Someone who said yes, why? Did you say yes, Steve?
I did.
Why?
I figure the concentration of stuff, right, there's more interactions per unit, like, volume.
Mm-hmm.
So those interactions will inevitably increase the internal energy, and that's manifested as temperature. So.
Right. Yeah. Cool. So there's basically, there are three, let's call them laws, I guess, because that's what they are. Three laws that tell us what kind of light will be emitted by objects of different densities and temperatures. They're called Kirchhoff's laws, not to be confused with the other Kirchhoff's laws, which have something to do with circuits, I think.
Yeah.
These are a different set. Kirchhoff's first law says that a hot, dense gas or solid object, solid objects being of high density, right? So we're talking about dense things for this first one, emits something called a continuous spectrum. What do I mean by continuous spectrum? Garrett.
Like about the light that it does emit, there's a continuous, like imagine like peaks of like intensity, like there's a continuous arrangement of peaks, I guess.
Sort of. Yeah.
Like the light that it emits is distributed across many different wavelengths.
Right. We'll say it's distributed across all wavelengths, right? So all wavelengths. What is the definition of continuous in math? That might help here, David.
It's not dependent on time.
That's one way of, that's, yes. that's true, that's one definition. What about for like something like calculus? What would you say continuous is, Nathaniel?
Well, it's differentiable.
Right, there's no like big jumps or breaks in it, right? There's no holes or discontinuities, or that's using the opposite of the word in the definition, which I don't know if it's, that's okay. So it's basically, we'll say it's all wavelengths unbroken, basically. Imagine a rainbow, right? Rainbows have light at all wavelengths, right? Just, you see straight through, there's no big gaps in there. Although technically, right, Ray? Come back to it. Technically a rainbow is not an example of Kirchhoff's first law, but imagine a rainbow when you think about what a continuous spectrum is. Kirchhoff's second law says that a hot diffuse gas, so diffuse meaning low density in this case, produces bright spectral lines. Something that we would call an emission spectrum. And then Kirchhoff's third law says that a cool diffuse gas, so not hot and low density, produces, a cool diffuse gas in front of a continuous spectrum produces dark spectral lines. Or what we would call an absorption spectrum. Okay, what now? How does that work? David? Yes.
Oh, are we talking about number three? So
two and three, or a combination of both, okay. Or
so for, I guess for two, it only emits the light at a certain wavelength, and when you measure it, those only ones that you pick up, and then it's the exact opposite for number three. If you have a continuous spectrum and you have cool diffuse gas in front,
right,
of it, it blocks those wavelengths. So
only specific wavelengths.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, who wants to see an example of an emission spectrum? I hope you all raise your hand. Can someone get up and turn off the lights in the back of the classroom? It's the slider by the door, and Ray, can you get those over there? And hey, Steve, you see that slider by that printer? Get that. And close the door, too. Why not? All right, so we have some diffuse gases in glass tubes that we can observe. So while I'm setting this up, Betty, can you distribute the diffraction gradients? I will also be turning off the projector here. Ooh, spooky. Okay, you might want to get up and come closer. So you can see better. But here is an emission spectrum. So you can't look straight through the diffraction grating. Does anyone not have one yet? So you kind of have to look off to the side, right? So if you look at this is sort of like what would you call this? Pinkish color? If you look at it all together. When you look at it through the diffraction grating, it splits out into a few distinct wavelength lines, right? What are the three main bright ones that you see? You're all mesmerized. Wait, am I looking up? Do we have the right tube here? Where did those go, right? This is the right one. This is a mislabeled tube. Oh no! That's my fault, because I got them out and checked them. Shame on me. Alright, this is supposedly the same thing. Scratch that. Ooh, it's hot. Anyway, you get the picture, right? There will be no absorption spectra, unfortunately. I mean, we could if we had a good, bright, continuous source. That's better.
There we go.
There we go. Okay. So there's a bright red one, a bright blue one, and then if you look kind of look carefully, there's sort of a brightish, like, indigo purple one. Right?
Right. Yeah.
What element is this? Does anybody know? Xenon. No, it's not xenon. I don't think we have a xenon lamp. That would be cool.
Is it helium?
This is molecular hydrogen, H2. So what this is really showing is, what we like to try and show with this is the simple hydrogen atom emission spectrum, which should just have the bright red, bright blue, and bright purple line. But because it's molecular, there's all those other little sort of faint ones from the atomic from the molecular structure in there too.
So would helium or just like sound like single hydrogen would just be those lines in
it? It should be, yeah.
How would helium be different?
So let's look at it.
Yeah.
We got a lot of lamps to look at, so this is probably the funnest day that we have in this class. So. Unfortunately, it's all downhill from here. I'll just bring the whole thing over. All right.
See, the noble gases and diatomic gases, or
we have a selection of common fun. Oh. Selection of common fun gases. So helium is fun. We'll look at it. Now, what do you expect it to look like?
Which one is this?
Helium. Find out. What color do you think it will be? It's all together. That was kind of like, hydrogen was kind of like a purplish pink, right? Okay. It's a big whopping yellow one in there. Not have the same ones.
Okay.
We'll talk. We'll come back to the. Let's just look at them first. Let's have some fun. But yes, it's going to come down to atomic structure, right?
Yeah.
So hydrogen and helium have different energy levels, basically. So you won't see the exact same ones. Helium, very nice. Any requests?
Mercury.
We have mercury. I don't think we have argon, though. No. We can do mercury. Mercury. What do you think it will look like? What will the color be? Red?
Blue. Strong blue.
Blue. Everyone get a good look at Mercury. How about neon? What color do you expect neon to be? What color is a neon sign? Oh, that's another trick question. You're going to recognize this color. So when we talk about neon signs, we only really mean orange, because the other colors are different elements. I'm not sure which elements they are, but they're different. So, what is special about this particular spectrum? Right, there's a lot of like doublet lines in the red and orange and yellow part of the spectrum. There's one doublet of green, right? Everyone get a good look?
So what are these lenses made out of?
These, they're not lenses, they're what they're called diffraction gratings. So what these are is plastic, and it looks kind of, if you look through it, it looks kind of like kind of hazy. That's because this has a bunch of lines in it, vertical lines, and that causes basically a double slit experiment type thing where you have things get, the light gets spread out. We'll talk more a little bit more about how that works when we talk about telescopes and spectrometers. Oxygen. Specifically, molecular oxygen, O2. The stuff you need to breathe, what color do you think it will be?
Yellow.
Faint blue. This one is really faint, right? If you want to get a better look at it, you'll have to come up front and really get close to it. Although that, I think, poses a social distancing issue, but, you know. Everybody satisfied with their look at oxygen?
You can do that tube and the fire and just blow, right?
Yeah, but I don't think you'd want to do that. Maybe the oxygen will be okay, but The Mercury one probably wouldn't be too fun. How about carbon dioxide? Any predictions? It's a complex molecule now. Lots of big fat lines in this one, right? Wide. We'll call them wide. Yeah.
You said the ones that are more faint are because of the connections between the elements in there, or is that? You said that not for H2. That's better.
Yeah. So how? So what lines you get when you're talking about anything that's not a just a single atom anymore gets way more complicated,
okay.
Right? And so even in a higher atomic number atom, things get kind of weird too. It's basically, we could spend the entire quantum mechanics course talking about it basically, but there's lots of transition probabilities and, you know, what kind, you know, there's electric field going through here, what's the strength of that, there's a lot to that goes into what lines actually look bright and which ones look faint.
Is there like an actual term for like the thicker lines where there's a noticeable intensity?
Is there a term for what the thicker lines
like
would be?
Lines?
I mean, maybe you could call them saturated.
Okay.
Maybe. Ray, do you have an idea?
Really,
I don't think so.
Lines.
You'd be more spectroscopy than me, so.
Yeah.
They're just big lines.
Maybe a molecular line. Yeah.
Maybe a molecular line, yeah. All right, that's CO2. I've more carefully studied the first one we looked at, and that is nitrogen. We'll go back and look at it real quick here. That was hot. That's nitrogen. So that's basically, this is basically what the spectrum of air would look like, regular old air. Like what you breathe in, right? That's mostly made of nitrogen. So it would be this mixed in with that oxygen and CO2 spectrum that you saw. So it's all going to come down to the atomic structure, right? What are the orbitals that the electrons are in? What are the energy levels the electrons can be? And how likely is it for those electrons to change from one orbital, one energy level to the next. So something like hydrogen is easy, right? Because it has one electron,
right,
that can be in one spot at a time. So it can only make a very specific small number of transitions. The more complex ones like nitrogen, which have nitrogen, what element is nitrogen?
Seven.
Seven, right? There's seven electrons that can do lots of different things. Right.
Still not as complex. So is it like also as you go left to right as well? Like if you have center, it's like this carbon number?
I would say that I wouldn't say that the more electrons you get, I wouldn't say that maps linearly with how complex it will look, if that makes sense. Because there is more that goes into it besides just how many electrons there are, right?
Yeah.
Some transitions between energy levels are way less likely to happen than others for lots of different reasons. Okay, so that was nitrogen. It is in a box that's labeled with hydrogen, so that's not my fault. All right, I think there's one more No. I think that's it. Air, right. So that's going to look like nitrogen. That's it. Okay. Lights, or actually, here, real quick. What do you think is in this light? Sorry. That was abrupt. Look at the spectrum of that. Continuous spectrum? God, that's bright. Sorry. Sorry, Ray. Let's not get the lasers out. That's not going to end well. Can you guys turn the lights back on? So that LED one at the end, that's going to be probably the closest to a continuous spectrum that you would see from a modern bulb. If you go find an old incandescent light bulb, the 100 watt, what are those called, filament bulb, that'll be a continuous spectrum, but it's not going to have a lot of blue light in it because fairly low temperature. Okay. So, right. What is the basic physical principle behind how that works? We've already sort of alluded to it in a couple different ways. Eric?
Electrons being excited and moving between.
Right. You can all, you can all keep these, by the way. So go out and find everyday things that look like, you know, go up to the store window and see whether it's neon or something else. Or
don't stare at the sun.
Yes, please, please, please. Please, please, please do not look at the sun directly or... Well, indirectly, you can't avoid it, but David?
In terms of the Hulk.
No, you'll go blind. I don't think the Hulk is blind, is he? When we talk about the sun in a couple weeks, we'll probably, if it's a nice day, go over and look at through the telescope. We'll do a projection of the sun. Definitely don't look at the sun through a telescope. This one over here can set paper on fire, so you can only imagine what it will do to your eyeball. Not good things. Anyway, thank you for the reminder, Ray. Back to what we were talking about. So we're talking about atomic structure here. Oh, shoot. All right, hang on a second. I didn't save the figures in here yet, so let's call it a day. It's only 5 minutes left anyway. We'll come back to this on Monday. We'll talk about the atomic structure of hydrogen just as a nice example, and then we'll finish up talking about how continuous spectra work. Which is a bit different, and then we'll depending on how much time we have left, we will get into things like brightness and magnitudes and telescopes and stuff. So I will see you all on Monday. For those of you, if you haven't yet, I did create, you probably saw a Discord channel for the course. That's a good place to ask office hours questions. You can get answers in real time. If you're into that kind of thing, but you don't have to join, but see the Canvas page for more. All right, see you.